Welcome back to Shattering Miss. Yeah, the whole world is having a conniption fit, blaming the Israelis for the deaths of innocent civilians, according to the President of the United States in Shiyaya. And the fact of the matter is that Israelis are there because the Muslims in Shiyaya sought to kill innocent Israeli citizens by firing a disproportionate number of rockets from the community into Israel. That's why the Israelis are there. No other reason. That is it. Had Muslims in Shiyaya not fired scores of rockets from that town into Israel, Israelis would not be there. Cause and consequence. I know that's a tough concept for Americans, particularly in politics and for the world. Second, when they came to take out the rockets, trying to do so in a land, boots on the ground operation, as opposed to just firing rockets and missiles from the air, trying to do it the humane way, to take out as few civilians as possible. Guess what they encountered? They met with a huge level of resistance from Hamas fighters who fired anti-tank missiles, rocket-propelled grenades, and automatic weapons, including 50-caliber machine guns, from the houses and from the tops of the buildings throughout the community. So as Israel was approaching, the Israelis were slaughtered. Now, at that point, you've got a community that sent scores of rockets into Israel. You have a community now that's filled with Hamas, shooting from the windows, shooting from the rooftops, shooting from the streets, firing sophisticated weapons, anti-tank missiles, rockets. Your people are dying. And they're there only to rid the community of its weapons. What would you do? Would you just go ahead and say, damn the torpedoes, who cares how many Israelis are killed in the process? Let's go in and let them fire on us. Or would you back up a little ways after you'd lost a dozen of your soldiers and say, let's fire the artillery, let's fire the tanks. Let's bring in the warplanes again. If that's the way they want to play, we can take out the weapon systems this way. At this point, we've done everything we can to let the community know that we're here, and we're here, and we're not going to leave until those rocket launchers are all gone. And so if there's a civilian casualty now in this community, it's because they chose to be there. Yeah, and about 60-some-odd Muslims died. And the world wants to blame Israel. It's repulsive, including the President of the United States. It is disgusting. It's immoral. It's ignorant. It's irrational. It's unjust. The Rosas say they came under intense Israeli tank fire. No kidding. If you're going to play that way, that's what's going to happen. The gates of hell has opened and the shrapnel came through the windows, said a resident. Why did you stay? You had a phone. The Israeli would have called you. Why? You knew that Hamas was staging this fight. Why'd you stay? After daybreak, the extent of the devastation only became apparent. 65 Palestinians, there's no such thing as a Palestinian. If you can't tell the truth, you ought not be writing. Had been killed and nearly 300 wounded. Gaza health officials said that dozens of homes had been badly damaged or destroyed. Yeah, if you use your homes to stage this kind of an attack, that's what's going to happen. Do you think that these Muslims were equipped with anti-tank weapons, with 50-caliber machine guns, with missiles, with rockets? Do you think that they would have used those as men as actually an army and gone out and said, well, there's an open fields prior to the community. We'll go out and we'll be military to militant. Yeah, we got all on our side. Let's meet them head on where it's fighting men that are fighting each other in the open fields. Fat chance of that. No. What did the Muslims choose to do? They chose to use civilians to protect them. They chose to fire from the town because this is what they wanted. It's what they got. Don't feel sorry for them. Don't give two hoots for how many of them are killed. It's what they wanted. Your compassion will be wrongly directed. In a most audacious attack on over the weekend, Hamas fighters dressed in Israeli army uniforms and slipped from central Gaza into Israel through the maze of tunnels that they have created and attacked an Israeli army patrol, killing two soldiers and injuring several others. The army returned fire, killing one of the militants, while the other was forced to flee back into Gaza through the tunnels. Hamas, military analyst says, is much better prepared militarily than it was in its previous two conflicts with Israel in 2009 and 2012, both a result of the United States forcing Israel out of Gaza, where Israel could monitor the flow of weapons and to keep them out of Gaza, but because the United States was promoting giving these terrorists their own states, no, it wanted Israel out. Well, that's the consequence. Since then, the Islamist group has invested millions in building large quantities of short and long range rockets, as well as acquiring a full cache of sophisticated weaponry. At the same time, Hamas's political and economic situation is in the worst state since the group seized power of Gaza in 2007. It didn't seize power. It was voted into power. It received 70% of the votes of the mythical people known as Palestinians. They voted for the most fundamentalist, most vicious jihadist Islamic organization. It no longer has the support of Iran or Syria or Lebanon or even of Hezbollah's militia because of its refusal to back President Bashar al-Assad in the Syrian civil war. In fact, they're not only backing them, they're on the other side. In Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood, of which Hamas is an offshoot, is no longer in power. Much of the Arab world, the Muslim world, in fact, no longer supports the militants, crippling them financially. That's not true. They're crippled financially because they're Muslims. They're not supported by the Iranians because they're opposed to the Iranians. They're not supported by the Egyptians anymore because the Muslim Brotherhood has been outlawed. But they are extraordinarily well armed, which means those arms are coming from Qatar, from Saudi Arabia. They are much more violent and extremist than in previous campaigns. Now, what's so amazing is that they're spending all of this money to destroy Israel, to kill Jews. And yet, it's not money that they have earned. It's money that the West has given them in charity. It hasn't gone to food. It hasn't gone to bread. It's gone to weapons, machine guns, rockets, mortars. All the while their people live in abject poverty. In the second attempt Saturday to enter Israel through their tunnels, Hamas militants were found carrying handcuffs and tranquilizers in an apparent attempt to kidnap Israeli soldiers. The militants were killed in that particular attempt. Saturday's attempted infiltrations into Israel, coming as thousands of Israeli soldiers focus on dismantling the Hamas tunnel network along Gaza's border, suggested that the number of tunnels were far greater than previously thought. If Hamas continues to use them to kill and injure Israeli soldiers or target Israeli civilians, it will prompt Israel to widen its ground offensive and to push deeper into Gaza, swelling the casualties. Rather than blame Hamas for using American charity and European charity to build an infrastructure under its cities to make bombs, rockets, and to hide weaponry that is all designed to kill Israelis. Obama called Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And the Secretary of State, John Lurch Kerry, prepares to go to Egypt to press the case for a ceasefire. Why would you call for a ceasefire now? Israel is there to do for a purpose. They've been terrorized by Hamas. They responded because Hamas began shooting scores and then thousands of rockets into Israel to kill civilians. And they're there to destroy the rockets, to destroy the launch facilities, to destroy the tunnels that hide them. And you want a ceasefire before that job is done? You are disgusting. Hamas's armed wing, the Al-Qassam Brigades, by the way, nobody's wearing uniforms. You know, they're all civilians. They're all just fundamentalist Muslims. Claimed on Sunday that it had captured an Israeli soldier. Shaul Aaron was his name. UN Chief Ban Ki-moon called Israel's latest incursion atrocious, as I shared earlier. even though what was atrocious, Mr. Moon, but I guess you're incapable of being moral, is Qatar providing the weapons. What's atrocious is Hamas deciding they were going to engage the Israelis in a city that they were using to fire rockets into Israel from homes, from the tops of apartment buildings. That is atrocious, pal. Hamas has already rejected a ceasefire proposed by Egypt and supported by Netanyahu, and is looking now to governments like Qatar and Turkey for an alternative proposal because they want Israel's destruction. They serve the same master, Allah. This article, like so many others now, says the conflict started 2 weeks ago after three Israeli youths were abducted and killed. That's not why it started. The whole world knows why it started. It didn't start there. This is not because Hamas kidnapped and murdered three Israelis. It's because they welched on their agreement not to fire rockets into Israel, and they fired 50 rockets into Israel, and now thousands. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Every report wants to say that the three Israeli youths, that their deaths were followed by almost immediately by what authorities suspect was a retribution attack on a Palestinian youth who was strangled, beaten, and burned to death. He wasn't burned to death. He was beaten, and his body was burned, was not burned to death. The facts on that particular case don't ever make the news. But the reality is that the young man, about 25 years old, that orchestrated the kidnap and killing of the Palestinian boy as he returned from the mosque was insane. He had been in and out of psychiatric units most of his life. He had been on and off the strongest psychiatric drugs. He was clinically insane. They were trying everything, his parents were, to deal with his insanity through medication, through psychiatric treatment, through institutions, but very much like the United States, civil liberties in Israel do not allow an adult to be treated without their consent. And so there are walking time bombs on psychiatric drugs, on enduring psychiatric treatment that perpetrate heinous acts. You know, most of the mass killings, particularly the school killings in America, are perpetrated by young men getting psychiatric treatment on and off psychiatric drugs. The situation in the Goleta area, U.S., the UC Santa Barbara, same situation. Almost all of the mass shootings in America are that way. And that's what has happened with this situation. It wasn't a sane, rational, normal Israeli that said, you know, I think we're going to resolve the immorality of Muslims kidnapping and murdering our young people. And there were four kidnapped and murdered, also a young girl at the same time, all by Hamas. That we're going to fight fire with fire, and so since they kidnap and murder our innocents, we're going to kidnap and murder their innocent. And I told you at the time that it was a 0% possibility that this was a move that was consistent with the Israeli mindset, and turns out it wasn't. The young man is insane. Highly drugged. It's a shame. Moving on to the same, in the same story, one of the young men that were killed by the Hamas heavy weaponry was a U.S. citizen, Max Steinberg, 24 years old, from Southern California. Despite worldwide calls for the cessation of fire, and particularly the President of the United States, the Israelis are saying this is not a time now to talk about a ceasefire. We've sacrificed so much. We must complete the mission. And the mission cannot end until the threat of the tunnels and the rockets is removed. Past flare-ups, of course, and between Israel and its foes in Gaza. And that's just repulsive by this editor. All of the flare-ups in the past have been because Gaza, terrorists, Muslims, have fired rockets into Israeli cities. All of them have occurred because they were perpetrated by the Islamic terrorists who wish to destroy Israel. And Israel has responded to protect itself 100% of the time. And if you can't tell the story truthfully, honestly, historically, accurately, you ought not be telling it. This says they've usually ended when the United States, the Jewish state's guardian ally, calls a halt, sometimes hastening by a strike that inflicts high civilian casualties on the Arab side. Yeah, the United States is always the one that brings the fighting to a halt just about the time that Israel is about to prevail. You have to wonder, how is that a guardian ally? The conflict, a confidence-sounding Hamas told Israel to leave Gaza. Israel has terribly failed, and we advise them to take their soldiers and leave before we kidnap more soldiers in addition to scores that we have already killed and wounded. Yes, indeed. Only from the mind of a Muslim. By the way, as I shared in the earlier part of the program, Reuters is reporting that Muslims deliberately killed via suicide bomber 27 people in Iraq today outside of the downtown center of Baghdad. Where are the voices screaming against them? I'm sharing all these stories with you, and we're going to eventually get to the Ukraine, because it's important to know how disastrous the world has become. There's death and rape and carnage and religious malfeasance everywhere, political malfeasance, military malfeasance. It's important that the listeners to this program come to know that man's institutions are leaving a wake of death and destruction everywhere. And that in most cases, the United States is on the wrong side. Reuters is reporting that the Islamic State killed 270 soldiers, guards and staff, when they captured a Syrian gas field on Thursday, the bloodiest clash yet between, this says, the Al-Qaeda offshoot, even though the world knows. I mean, the proof is overwhelming. I mean, absolutely undeniable that the Islamic State never was associated with Al-Qaeda. Never. Now, this particular story of 270 dead soldiers, guards, and staff is not in Iraq. It's in Syria. In Syria, you see, the United States is supplying billions of dollars worth of weapons. We're actually doing, and in extraordinary numbers, extraordinary sophistication, anti-aircraft, anti-tank, anti-personnel weapons that we are providing to the Islamic State in Iraq when they are battling the Assad regime. And then we're surprised when the Islamic State simply crosses the border and uses the weapons we've supplied to attack the army of weapons that we have supplied in Iraq. Now, on one side, we call them freedom fighters. On the other side, we call them Islamic terrorists. Same group of people. The Islamic State has made rapid gains in Syria, mostly by seizing territory from rival rebel groups, rival Islamic groups, as also from the Assad regime, using weaponry brought in from Iraq. No, it's using weaponry supplied by Qatar and Saudi Arabia, who are middlemen for the United States. Now, the fact is that at this point, they're armed to the gills because of the fact that they have used the weapons supplied by the United States to capture enormous swaths of territory in Iraq where the weaponry was abandoned by the Iraqi army. So now they have billions of dollars worth of American weapons funneled through Qatar and Saudi Arabia in Syria, and they've confiscated billions of dollars worth of weaponry in Iraq. We have made the most vicious, the largest, the most successful Islamic terrorist organization in the world. The United States is responsible for its creation and its empowerment. 200,000 people have died thus far in that conflict, one that was weaponized entirely by the United States of America. Iraqi Christians are now fleeing Mosul after Islamist militants threatened to kill them unless they converted to Islam or paid the jizya. They call it a protection tax. It's kind of protection like the mafia. If you pay us, we will protect your home and businesses. If you don't pay it, we'll destroy them. By protecting them, they're protecting them against themselves. A statement issued by the Islamic State in Iraq was read out in the city's mosque. It called on Christians to comply by midday on Saturday or face death if they did not leave Mosul. The Islamic State has gained control of most of Iraq, and it says we offer them three choices. By the way, these are the same three choices that are in the Quran. And it's a shame that the journalist providing this story didn't know that. This is what the Quran 9th Surah has to say. In fact, it's even worse in the Quran, and my guess is that the worst part of this was also cited from the Quran. It just wasn't covered by the journalist. The ultimatum cited a historic contract known as the Dima. Now, the Dima is not a historic contract. It's a Quranic verse under which non-Muslims in Islamic societies who refuse to convert are offered protection. By the way, it's protection from being killed by Muslims if they pay a fee called a jizya. We offered them three choices: Islam, the Dahimi contract involving payment of the jizya. If they refuse, then they will have nothing but the sword, Islamic State said. Now, this is standard Islam, right out of the pages of the Quran. It goes further in the Quran. It says that the world, everyone in the world, is to be offered these three choices. Convert to Islam. Acknowledge that Allah is God and that Muhammad, the most perverted man who ever lived, the most vicious man who ever lived, the most repulsive man who ever lived, is this demonic deity's messenger. Convert to Islam. Become stupid. Sacrifice your soul to the devil. That's choice one. Not very appealing. Particularly since everything that religion has touched for 1,400 years, it has destroyed. Option two, pay the jizya tax, the Dahimi contract, in absolute subjection and humiliation, acknowledging Islam's superiority. Now, that Dominion contract is not just about sacrificing your wealth. It's an onerous tax where you, in essence, give up your wealth to the Muslim overlords. But the contract goes much further, according to the Quran. You have to acknowledge that you're surrendering an abject humiliation, that you have no rights, and that Islam is wholly superior. Or die, because they will kill you. They will cut off your head. It is how Islam has been spread for 1,400 years. This is a Quranic statement. It is repeated over and over again by Muhammad in the Hadith. It's not a historic contract. It is a religious contract. This article says, for the first time in history of Iraq, Mosul is now completely empty of Christians. Just a matter of years ago, there were 60,000. Then a year ago, there were 30,000. And now there are none. Before America invaded Iraq, there were 1 million Christians in Iraq. Almost 2 million. I think it was 1.8 million Christians in Iraq when America invaded. They lived peaceably in Iraq under Saddam Hussein. But America had a better idea. We're going to get rid of that vicious dictator Saddam Hussein, and under the American occupation, the Christians were annihilated. Now, less than 10% of the 1.8 million Christians remain. And those few who were still there are now given the choice. Accept Islam. Sacrifice your freedom, your dignity, and your money, all of your possessions, to Islam, or die. This is a direct result of the United States' suicidal, counterproductive invasion of Iraq. As Americans, we should be shamed. And yet the President of the United States isn't speaking about this. He's not taking responsibility. He's not being accountable. He's not acknowledging that it's American weapons supplied directly to the Islamic State in Syria and indirectly in Iraq that have caused this. He's not acknowledging that it was the invasion of Iraq that put this all into motion and that it ultimately is going to spill out and start World War III. Here's a story out of Afghanistan. This is another country America broke. It's important that you know the pain of Islam up close and personal. It was bad enough that the rape took place in the sanctity of a mosque, as if a mosque had sanctity, and that the accused man was a mullah who had invoked a familiar defense. But the victim was only 10 years old. An Islamic, high-ranking Islamic mullah in a mosque raped a 10-year-old girl. The authorities said the family members openly planned to carry out an honor killing against the girl. So here in Afghanistan, a country America invaded and broke, a country where women had no rights under the Taliban that America had imposed in Afghanistan because they had a secular government before Zygmunt Brzezinski and Jimmy Carter and Robert Gates collectively decided to fight a proxy war there and impose the Taliban on Afghanistan. And women had absolutely no rights under the Taliban. And now, following the U.S. invasion, the fate of women is gone from horrible to barbaric, to vastly more deplorable. We are responsible for what happened to this little girl. She was not only raped by an Islamic mullah, but now the girl's family, the girl is 10 years old, she was savagely raped in a mosque by a mullah. And the girl's family wants to kill the little girl, their daughter. This past week, the awful matter became even worse. On Tuesday, local policemen removed the girl from the shelter that had given her refuge because she was torn up by this rape. She's 10 years old. And she was returned to her family despite complaints from every women's activist group that they had promised to kill her. The case has broader repercussions. The head of the Women for Afghanistan Women's Shelter, the WAW, where the girl took refuge, Dr. Hassana Sawari, was at one point driven into hiding by death threats of the girl's family and by other mullahs. So Islamic clerics and the girl's family threatened to kill the doctor that was caring for this little 10-year-old girl. Why? Because she was protecting the little girl that had been raped from being murdered by her family. One militia commander sent Dr. Sawari threatening texts and an ultimatum to return the girl to her family where she would be honorably killed. She says she now has to flee Afghanistan. The head of the Women's Affairs Office, who actively campaigned to have the young girl protected from her family and the mullah prosecuted, well, she resigned. And she moved out of the country. The case itself would not be as a single atrocity, except for the resulting support of the Islamic mullah, the rapist. Turning back to this little girl, 10 years old, raped in a mosque by an Islamic imam, an Islamic spiritual leader with a community in Afghanistan, universally behind the rapist and the family of the little girl that wants to kill the little girl. Wants to kill the victim of rape. Own mother and father. Committed to killing the little girl. And the overwhelming preponderance of Afghanis are in favor of this. And you say, so why did we invade Afghanistan? Why did we sacrifice so many American lives in the invasion of Afghanistan? This article reads, the result challenges hopes that Western aid and encouragement can make headway on behalf of Afghan women. We made it worse. Every report on the status of Afghani women, particularly little girls, pre and post the U.S. invasion, shows that it's worse by at least tenfold. It's just like the consequence of American invasion of Iraq increased terrorism in Iraq more than tenfold, thousandsfold. And the annihilation of Christians a thousandfold. Well, that's what happened in Iraq with the condition of women. That was the big thing that we were going in, giving women an opportunity, and their fate in Afghanistan pummeled, plunged as a result of the American invasion. This article says, particularly in a country where traditional customs are still stronger than modern law. Traditional customs. This journalist reporting on this tragedy can't even say Islam. You know, it's in Islam, rape is sanctioned. In Islam, Muslim men who rape women are exonerated, and the woman is the one that is attacked and killed. The victim of rape is prosecuted and murdered savagely in an Islamic country, according to Sharia law, and the rapist is exonerated. And this journalist is either too stupid or too grossly immoral to say that Islam is a stronger influence here than modern law or sensibilities. And by the way, in every country around the world, rape has been known to be to either be condemned or to be used as a weapon of war. The Romans used it as a weapon of war. The Spartans used it as a weapon of war. The Greeks used it as a weapon of war. The Persians used it as a weapon of war. And Muslims have made it a religious doctrine to use rape as a weapon of war. You know, the chief of Saudi Arabia's Muslim community, the top imam there, told Muslims to take Israeli women and rape them because Allah made them available to be raped. This is the reality. It has nothing to do with customs. It has all to do with the religion of Islam. Here, the Taliban insurgents and pro-government elements often make common cause in their hatred of women's rights, which has become about from international pressure and funding. Most of the anger in Afghanistan has been focused not on the mullah, who was the rapist, but on the woman's activist who are trying to protect the little girl. As the Westerners withdraw from Afghanistan, and that is accelerated, the woman that is managing the civil rights movement on behalf of women said, we're losing all of our support from the international community. There's no new funding. It's exactly the same thing that happened in Vietnam. Oh, America was there to stay. We're there to protect you. We're there to give you hope. We're there to give you democracy. We're there to give you freedom. And the moment that Americans got weary of this war, because it had been fought on a lie and we were making the situation worse in Vietnam and had no chance whatsoever of success and withdrew, so did all of the support and all of those who that America promised that it would protect, we left alone, and they were savagely killed. The same thing is true in Afghanistan. Exactly the same thing. We didn't learn a lesson from Vietnam, and we repeated it in Afghanistan. The accused mullah, Mohammed Amin, was actually arrested, and he confessed to having sex with a 10-year-old girl. He said he did so after Quran recitation classes at the mosque. Because, you know, and the Quran says that rape is acceptable. Sex with captives. All he had to do was walk up to the girl and grab hold of her. She's now a captive and he's free to rape her, according to Allah. It's tragic. We'll continue with this story and move on to the Ukraine after the news and commercial break.